Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, I had this guy on, four or five months ago, something like that. His name is Kevin Hughes. He is the Vice President for Advancement at Winthrop University. His job is to spread the word, spread the faith about Winthrop University, and get people involved to help out the school do what it needs to do. Is that pretty well?
That's a pretty good explanation there,
Manning. That's pretty good. Okay, yeah. Good. All right. So, of course, we are right across the street from Winthrop, and it was a long trip for you to get over here, wasn't it?
Long hike.
So tell everybody about your background again, if you would.
You bet, Manning. So I'm a native of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but most recently moved to Rock Hill from Florida after being down there for about a decade. I've been working in higher ed advancement work, which, as you just talked about, entails securing support for the university. But also we work with alumni and community relations as well. So I've been doing this work for about 14 years after getting out of the rat race that was the political world for about a decade at the beginning of my career.
What political campaigns were you involved with?
Well, so the vast majority of my political experience took place in the state of Ohio, on state of Ohio politics. Worked in the Ohio legislature for close to 4 years, and then after that worked for a trade association in which I worked on campaigns throughout the Midwest for a number of candidates.
Phew! We could do a whole show on just what's going on politically right now.
always very interesting.
Were you surprised to hear the news this morning that Senator Scott pulled out of the presidential campaign?
I was surprised to hear that. You would think someone like him, especially given our position here in South Carolina in terms of our date on the calendar being early in the primaries, that he might be able to try to hold out to at least make it to South Carolina. So surprising to hear.
He did it so gracefully, though. I tell you, he's quite a guy, and he said it's just a pause. Doesn't mean forever, just a pause. All right, so now you made a report, and this is what triggered me to get you back on here. October the 11th, you all had your Board of Trustees meeting, and you really had some glowing things to say about how you're doing in terms of fundraising. You said that when you gave a performance report, you said you're basically way ahead of pace of where you thought you would be.
We are. So when you look on a year-over-year basis, we are up almost 100% right now in terms of dollars from where we were last year. And Manning, as you may have heard me talk about at that particular Board of Trustees meeting, one of the reasons behind that is the investment and effort we have placed into what we refer to as major and planned giving. So this entails donors that make gifts of a more substantial size beyond just our annual fund gifts that we bring in on an annual basis, which are certainly important. And those annual fund gifts and the annual fund support really provide the foundation on a year-over-year basis. But we really have invested in my 10 months thus far at Winthrop in terms of really kind of tightening up the work that we do in the major and planned giving side and really having very intentional conversations with donors that have interest in supporting Winthrop and can really help make a transformational difference in a lot of different ways for Winthrop. And so we've seen some success, but I think the sky's the limit. We have a lot of positive momentum at Winthrop right now, and folks are getting really excited about the potential to philanthropically invest in the future of Winthrop.
You know, you mentioned the positive atmosphere. I mean, it's everywhere. I think people are really beginning to see something. I mentioned to you the fencing coming down along Oakland Avenue. All of a sudden, there's like a new vibe. You're like driving through campus rather than driving around campus. All the programming changes that are going on over there, the wholesale changes in curriculum. You've got construction going on virtually every building over there. We're about to take two great big buildings down right over here, Richardson Hall and Wofford is the other
Wofford, correct.
Yeah, those two are going to be coming down. So it's one thing after another. So when you go out and you identify people you want to talk to, have they heard this story, or is it a story that you have to let me tell you what's going on that you probably don't know about?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. It's interesting, you know, even amongst our alumni who we would hope would be, as you know, a little bit more plugged in, sometimes it is an education process. And so that's why we remind ourselves internally sometimes how important it is to continually tell the story, from the increased enrollment numbers that we've experienced this past year to all the great work that's going on with our facilities right now. It is something where it's a continual education process. And honestly, even for folks here in the Rock Hill region and throughout York County, you know, not everybody has the opportunity to drive by campus and maybe not familiar with what's going on. And let's be candid, Winthrop has gone through several years of really some lean times, you know, even prior to COVID, as well as certainly through COVID. And we think that, you know, there was a certain narrative maybe as to what kind of was going on at Winthrop, and we're really trying to change that narrative. And so we need to be very intentional about continually telling that story and sharing the great news of what's happening on campus. So it's a 50-50 split. But it's always fun to be able to tell that story and have people kind of have that aha moment when they realize that things have turned around at Winthrop and that we're really headed in the right direction.
I mean, it's been a challenging number of years ever since Dr. DiGiorgio left. You know, won't go into all the details, but now the ship seems to have been righted. You got a new administration, a fellow who just happened to graduate from Winthrop is now back leading Winthrop, Dr. Edward Serna. And he's brought in a whole new team of people, and you know, you just got a vibe going, and it's all, you know, in the right direction. Now, when you talk to these potential donors and supporters of Winthrop, what is it that you find that they're most interested in knowing? Because you're asking them to make an investment in the school, and I would think they would want to know, okay, for that investment, what might I be able to expect in terms of what's coming out of Winthrop?
Yeah, I think there's a number of things that potential donors are interested in. You know, they want to know what the challenges are. I mean, we're talking here about some of the positive momentum, but let's be frank. There's still some challenges that we have just in general in terms of kind of emerging from some of the challenging times that we've had, but also just the challenges to higher education in general. So, you know, donors want to know what those challenges are and how their philanthropy and their investment can potentially help us overcome those challenges. They want to understand what the future vision is for Winthrop. You know, one of the conversations that we continue to have is, you know, what's the identity of Winthrop? You know, for so many years throughout our history, we were the women's teaching college. Certainly, we are still very proud of our College of Education and the work that we do there. But we're so much more than that. And so there's also this conversation about what our identity is. But I think one of the things that people are really buying into right now is the vision of President Serna. And so that's what we're sharing, because that's what donors also want to know. They want to know, like I said, what that future vision is and how they can help students. And I think a lot of folks, they're really resonating with the message that they're hearing from us and that really President Serna is driving in terms of how we kind of do a full audit of our academic portfolio and program, and how do we implement the new programs that are going to be most appealing to students of today. You know, the jobs of the future that are going to be here in 20, 30 years, you know, these are jobs and occupations that didn't exist maybe 20, 30 years ago. And so we need to have a continually evolving academic portfolio that's going to appeal to the students of today as well as tomorrow.
And it's interesting that we're having this conversation today, because I believe it's today that some of the finalist candidates for provost, which is like, as you said, the chief academic officer.
Correct.
Are on campus. There's four of them, I think. And they're going to be talking to various groups over there. And their job, whoever is selected, will be basically to sell what you just talked about, which is to, and this is not going to be an easy job, is to say, okay, professor, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that program anymore. We're going to do this program. And immediately they're going to say, what are you talking about? I've been in this one for years. Well, we got to do this one now because that one doesn't make any sense anymore.
No, you're correct. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. You said chief academic officer, and so that's what the provost, essentially, that's his or her role, is to work directly with our faculty as well as our academic leadership to evaluate the current academic portfolio, but also look into the future as well. It's very much an internal-facing type position, though there are external components. Certainly there's ways in which I interface through my department, which obviously is very externally focused, that we interface with the provost. But really that is the role of the provost. And I think, you know, one of the things that's interesting, though, is there will always be that evolution of that academic portfolio, but we're really seeing a lot of buy-in from our faculty that are really, again, like a lot of our external partners, they're really resonating with the message that President Cerna is sharing and the vision that he has for the future of Winthrop. And I think, generally speaking, we have a faculty that's very supportive of that. As we talked about new programs potentially coming on, we're not at a place where we're looking at closing any particular programs, as you have seen at some institutions. And I think at a lot of institutions, that is really a signal of struggles. And, you know, fortunately, Winthrop, we're not in that position right now like some institutions are.
Interesting. So the process will go on, and I don't know when they're going to make a final decision, but that seems to be the last, I don't know, core position that needs to be filled at Winthrop, and then the whole team is together, and away we go.
That's correct.
So as far as these programs are concerned, is that something that will be rolling out, I don't know, the next academic year? I guess it would be, because you got to get the provost in place, and then Lord knows how many changes have to take place.
So we've actually already started on that process. So we've worked with an outside partner to really examine the geographic area from which we draw the vast majority of our students and really do a study of what are the academic programs, what are the areas of study that students in those geographic regions are specifically interested in. And we're able to understand from that analysis not only what programs are in demand, but what would also be the expected student census in each one of those programs. That then allows us to build the business case for that particular program. You know, regardless of what the program is, there's going to be certain expenses that are involved with actually launching a program. But it helps us to be able to know what that student count, that student census is going to look like, because that allows us to build out that business model. Therefore, we're able to have conversations with our Board of Trustees about which programs make sense. And so within each one of our individual colleges across the university, we're making a 3 to 4 year plan right now as to what are the programs we're going to be rolling out. And so you're going to see new academic programs actually rolling out as soon as next academic year. And certainly we have the pipeline in place already. Like I said, this is a constant, continual evolution of our academic portfolio. But we're already looking at, and we have a pretty good idea of where we're going to be going here in the next couple of years. And then, obviously, as that then takes place, we'll start thinking about what's next after that.
Well, that's the way the world's going. I mean, what's being done today doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be done tomorrow.
That's right.
So you have to have that flexibility for it to work. So let's get back to what your main responsibility is, which is to find support for Winthrop. How critical is it to have that outside support, the donors, you know, investing their dollars into Winthrop?
Oh, it's critically important. So, and I think I used that phrase. I think I used this phrase the last time we spoke, Manning, which is I've always referred to philanthropy as that margin for excellence. So, you know, we as a public institution obviously receive support from the state and taxpayer dollars. And then obviously tuition is one of our primary revenue sources. But philanthropy really helps us make that difference between being just good to excellence. And so it really is critical and allows us to do a lot of things. You know, throughout my career working for a couple of other different higher education institutions, scholarship is always one of the main priorities that we're looking to raise dollars for. And I can tell you, in having conversations with donors, that is really what they are oftentimes interested in doing, because they want to support students directly. For many donors, it's a matter of thinking back to their own college experience. Many of them were the recipients of scholarship support. And when you look at the demographics of our student body here at Winthrop, we have a disproportionate share of first-generation students, as well as students that are Pell Grant eligible, that come from lower socioeconomic situations. That's not our entire student body, but we have a disproportionate amount of students that fall into those categories. And so that scholarship support that we're able to raise from outside donors plays a really critical role in allowing some of those students to first come to Winthrop, but then also to stay here at Winthrop. And so it makes a significant difference.
Interesting. So let's just say somebody wanted, in the back of their mind, I would like to create a scholarship for, let's say, one student to get through Winthrop in whatever criteria you set up, you know, whatever they are. I mean, what kind of dollars would they need to invest with your department to make a scholarship possible?
So the conversation I have with donors is typically the way one invests in scholarship is through endowments. And for those that aren't as familiar with endowment, endowment is basically a tool that allows a fund to exist in perpetuity. So when you make a gift of a certain amount, we will then not touch that principal for the lifetime of that gift. That money then gets invested into our permanent endowment, which is a much, much larger pool of money. And then that endowed fund actually has the opportunity to experience investment gains and, sadly, losses as well at times. But the goal is to be able to grow that endowed fund, whatever the amount is that you initially invest, to be able to grow that over time and for that to then exist in perpetuity. Now, at Winthrop, our minimum endowment level is $25,000. We then have a 4% draw on an annual basis. And so when you think about the impact that you're going to have for a $25,000 gift, that then produces on average about $1,000 worth of income on an annual basis because of that 4% draw that we take. What we talk about, though, is impact. So you think about that $1,000. So the conversation I have with donors is you can make that entry-level gift at $25,000 all the way up to a $400,000 gift. A $400,000 gift essentially provides a full-time scholarship for one student for in-state tuition through the course of his or her career at Winthrop. And so really that's the range of options of conversations that we have with donors at times. And I always emphasize to donors as well, that is not just a one-time gift that you have to make. We often spread this out over a course of a five-year period, which is fairly typical in our field, that once you make a certain commitment, you have up to 5 years to be able to fulfill that.
So if somebody wanted to put in $25,000, they could do $5,000 a year.
Correct. We're very cognizant. We're talking about some big numbers here for folks. And so even for folks that have the financial capability of making those types of gifts, it makes it much more palatable to be able to split it up over a period of time like that.
And even though you might think $1,000being given to a student to offset their tuition is not a big deal, it is a big deal.
Absolutely.
So a lot of, I mean, that's $1,000 if you have to borrow. That's $1,000 less than mom and dad have to put in. I mean, $1,000
is
$1,000.
That's right.
Might take care of all your books. I mean, there's a whole other story.
That is a whole other story. But you're right, though. Even those smaller amounts, those are very critical for our students and for many of our students. And one of the things that's touching to me in this field is I was one of those students once upon a time that was low income, was able to get my college education because of generous scholarship support that was provided by donors. And so I've heard these stories throughout my career, and it's very heartwarming and touching to hear students talk about how even a small amount of money made the difference between them having to drop out and to be able to continue their education.
Well, percentage-wise, if you take a look at the typical college campus, how many kids are getting some kind of scholarship or financial help?
Honestly, at most universities, that number is upwards of 90%. And that's a combination of both merit as well as need-based aid. So, you know, a lot of students, one of the ways in which we recruit them is we offer them merit-based scholarships based upon their high school academic performance. But certainly we also want to be able to help those that have socioeconomic need as well.
Jeez. And if you just take a look at what Winthrop is doling out on an annual basis for all different types of scholarships based on these endowments that you have, that number is, do you have any idea?
You know, honestly, off the top of my head, I don't know, because it's a combination of not only donor-supported scholarship aid, but also institutionally we provide scholarship aid as well. And so that's what is sometimes often referred to as a discount rate. So a discount rate is essentially when you look at the full tuition price and versus what the average student actually pays. And so just a sort of a tip to offer some of our parents out there of maybe high school students, don't always pay attention to the price tag, the sticker price, if you will. most colleges and universities, they offer some type of discount rate based upon some of those factors that I just talked about, whether it be the merit-based performance of your son or daughter in high school or the need, the economic need that a family may have.
Suffice it to say, it's a substantial number.
It is a substantial number. Absolutely.
All right. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live, pardon me, from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax You with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. Okay, Buster and crew are here to help us out with this. We do. These two guys really do have a college education, believe it or not. At the count of three, what do we do here at Substation 2? One, two, three.
Slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
It's soup weather, and Substation 2 is ready. Nothing says fall like a cup of hot, delicious soup, and we serve a rotating selection of flavors. Just call to find out what's on the menu, because we never know what we're going to feel like making that day. Soup and sandwich, what a great combo. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Our common sense investing is not designed to take your life savings, roll the dice, and make you rich. We design a plan to keep the standard of living you have grown accustomed to the same throughout your retirement, be it 20, 30, or even 40 more years. Anderson Griggs Investments, 324-5044, or online at andersongriggs.com.
Relax with a certificate from Founders Federal Credit Union and maximize your earnings. Whether you're saving for a down payment, planning for retirement, or simply growing your nest egg, Founders has great dividend rates. Get guaranteed returns and the security you deserve with terms from 12 to 84 months. Enable Dividend AMP to transfer your quarterly dividends into your Loyalty Select account, our highest yield savings account. Open a certificate today. Visit an office or foundersfcu.com to learn more or apply for membership. Federally insured by NCUA. Membership qualification required. Terms and conditions apply.
Emergency care close to home. The team at Piedmont Medical Center has the advanced training to handle your medical emergencies, and we're making it easier for you to access care every day. For non-life-threatening problems, online ER check-in is available at all our emergency room locations, meaning less waiting room time, more peace of mind. Simply visit PiedmontMedicalCenter.com, pick a time you want to be seen, and then wait at home while we hold your place. For life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Hey, Manning, I hear the gyros are back at Substation 2.
That's right, Alex, and they are great. They're made to order, served hot, on warm, soft pita bread with creamy tzatziki sauce, onion, and tomato. And I can't wait to get one.
Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Kevin Hughes is with us. He's the Vice President for Advancement over Winthrop University. His job is to develop external bonds between those who want to support Winthrop and Winthrop University. So, I asked you off the air, and it was very interesting how you answered this. The average gift to Winthrop and how important it is to get people started, like your own undergraduates there, in getting into a pattern of giving.
Correct.
Because that can be lead to a long-term support for Winthrop University.
Absolutely. So, you know, I think one of the conundrums we have, not just in what we do here at Winthrop, but across the entire philanthropic sector, is donors that give at the smaller level. So, you know, donors that maybe make a $50 annual gift or a $100 annual gift, and I don't mean to minimize that, but for some folks, they wonder, what kind of impact can I really have by making that type of gift? Well, certainly all gifts matter, because at the end of the day, they all add up to a much larger number. But, you know, our research in our industry shows that if a donor makes a gift for three consecutive years, it becomes habitual for them. And that level of support will increase over the term of one's lifetime. And I know that this is an extreme outlier and an extreme example, but I was sharing with you, Manning, one of the stories that we share in our industry oftentimes is Michael Bloomberg, a graduate of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. His first 2 years as a young alum, he made $10 gifts to Johns Hopkins. Well, now his lifetime giving total cumulatively to Johns Hopkins is over $3 billion. And again, I realize that that is an extreme outlier. But, you know, we were talking just earlier about, you know, pretty significant size gifts when we were talking about scholarship support. You know, I mentioned anywhere from $25,000 to $400,000 what it would take to fund a full scholarship here at Winthrop for one of our students. And I realize that's out of reach for most people. But even for the people that do have the financial wherewithal of making gifts of that size, it's typically not just out of the blue that they make a gift like that. It's because they have a long donor relationship with an institution like Winthrop. And it's because they've made smaller gifts over the course of time. And so that's why we work so hard, not just to focus on those donors that have the capability of making those large gifts, but also younger donors and even other donors that, you know, may not have significant means, but how they can make an impact and support places like Winthrop with their annual gift.
And you never know when you go to knock on a door to talk to somebody what's behind that door. I always remember the story about how Stanford University got to where it was when a couple of people showed up in overalls at an Ivy League school and nobody would pay any attention to them because they looked the way they looked. And they got so disgusted they went out west and they just said, well, here's a whole bunch of money. Start this thing called Stanford University. Mm-hmm. You just can't judge a book by its cover.
So much of what we do in our profession is actually about asking questions. And so, especially in this day and age when data is at your fingertips and we think we know everything about everything, you know, it's still kind of back to the old-fashioned basics. It's about asking questions and discovering, you know, everything from the millionaire next door, you know, to the donor that's been saving their entire lives. There are countless stories in the philanthropic industry of people that were, you know, completely unknown, or unsuspecting, who left, you know, through their estate millions of dollars to different institutions. So you just never know until you probe and ask the questions and, you know, most importantly, develop a relationship with people over time.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the strategic plan, because I know you all have been working at least a year, if not longer, on this thing, and it's beginning to roll out now, the whole process. It was very intense, was it not?
It was. So, you know, we were challenged by our Board of Trustees to compress this time frame a little bit, and so we actually launched our efforts back in February, March of this year, and we will be delivering a final plan to our Board of Trustees later this month on November 30th and December 1st. We will then likely be sort of unveiling it to the public, if you will, after the holidays in early January. But it's been a very intense 9-10 months that we've been working on this. We're very excited. You know, I talked earlier about President Cerna's vision. I think a lot of the things that we hear President Cerna speaking about are going to be things that you see as components of this particular plan. And as it relates very specifically to myself, and I know Gary Simrell, someone that I know you have on your program often, you know, Gary and I work in very external facing roles, and you're going to see components of the strategic plan that talk about how Winthrop, how we really want to double down and make more intentional efforts as it relates to community partnerships, corporate partnerships, not only here in Rock Hill and York County, but also in the Charlotte metropolitan area as a whole. But there's a lot of different pillars to this plan, everything from the academic side, touching upon what we talked about earlier about the evolution of our academic portfolio. So on the academic side, as we address some of the facility needs that we have throughout the institution, externally focused, but there's a lot to come and a lot to be excited about, and we've got a lot of work in front of us these next couple of years.
And to pull something like this together, I guess you have to have some help from the outside. Some people who will ask some tough questions, like what the heck are you doing and why are you doing it, mm-hmm. to try to get you focused on what you should be doing.
That's right. I think, you know, one of the things that we're very proud of about this particular process is that we have really opened a broad net to really encompass as many voices as possible. So it's not just been our campus community, but we have very intentionally worked with stakeholders in the local community as well as our alumni as well. The consultants that we are working with, they do this for a living, and they work with a lot of different institutions that look very similar to Winthrop. They told us that our alumni participation in our survey responses, as well as some of the feedback sessions that we've conducted, has been 3 times what they would normally expect from an institution of Winthrop's size. And so we have had a lot of buy-in and participation from students, from faculty, from staff, from friends here locally in the Rock Hill community, from our alumni throughout not only just the state of South Carolina, but across the entire country. I mean, we've done surveys. We've had in-person sessions. We've really tried to make this community-centered and really organic in terms of getting a lot of feedback to go into this plan.
What that tells me is a lot of people like this university over here, and they want to see something happen dramatic.
That's they want great. To see us succeed.
Kevin, thank you for being on Straight Talk today. Always a pleasure to have you here. You're a veritable font of information. Thank you so much for what you're doing. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online and AndersonGriggs.com. All right, Buster and company are ready over here. Yes, they are college graduates, and we're going to ask them to use all their skills to tell Winthrop College graduates. Thank you very much. to tell everybody exactly what we do here at Substation 2, 6 days a week. Fresh subs and salads. How do we do it? 1, 2, 3.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.